An investigative reporter can wait his or her whole life for that one perfect story. New York Times reporter Don Van Natta Jr. thinks he's found a good one involving lies, cheating, abuse of power, gambling, clubs, the White House, and occasionally a minor flesh wound.
The former presidents take their first swings of the Bob Hope Chrysler Classic. George Bush's first tee shot stops on the fairway's left fringe. He uses a 4-iron to hit his second ball, and at right angles, like a bullet, the ball went in the crowd, Bush would later recall. When I got to the scene of the crime, a lady lay bleeding.
It's no Watergate, but Van Natta's new book, First Off the Tee, tells the sometimes sordid tales of presidents and their love of golf. As Van Natta knows firsthand, telling the truth about a president's golf game can easily raise the blood pressure of the most powerful men in the world.
I wrote a story back in 1999 about Bill Clinton and had accused him of cheating. It was a story that he hated. I found out about it a week later from his friend Terry McAuliffe, one of his favorite golfing partners. And I said, Terry, I've written so many stories about Bill Clinton, about Monica Lewinsky and him selling out the Lincoln bedroom to the highest bidder. You know, why would he be mad about a piece about golf and his mulligan taking? And he paused a moment. He said, the president takes his golf game very seriously. And I thought, well, they all did. They all did. 14 of the last 17 American presidents played golf, and it's a way to really judge their character. They're really themselves out on the golf course.
Now, why not early? I mean, golf is older than America.
But it didn't begin in America until the 1880s, and William Howard Taft was our first president who played golf while in office.
Big boy.
Very big boy, 350 pounds, and Americans...
You'd think he could drive it.
You'd think so, but he couldn't. He was one of the worst presidential golfers. Taft just looked ridiculous. He looked like a sumo wrestler trying to hit a fly with a fly swatter. But he insisted on playing anyway, and he was really a trailblazer for all the presidential golf nuts to come.
Was he absolutely the worst? I mean, there were others in his league.
Taft was among the worst. The absolute worst was Calvin Coolidge.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't even dress for the game. He went out there dressed as if he was going to a dinner party. And on the first tee, people didn't know whether he was going to make a toast or hit a golf ball.
Necktie and...
Oh, yeah, the whole bit. Only on his feet, he wore sneakers that looked like large clown slippers. So people laughed at him quite often.
Ike is the one we always associate with golf.
He was the one that really made golf... and president-watching mix. I mean, he made the game cool.
Larry Bird of the Chicago Tribune. Different presidents have had different favorite hobbies, and in your case, you seem to find a special appeal in golf.
Well, it induces you to take 2 or 3 hours, if you can, where you're thinking of that ball. To my mind, it's a very healthful, beneficial kind of thing, and I do it whenever I get a chance, as you well know.
Put a green in the South Lawn, right?
That's exactly right. The USGA put a custom-built green for him there with private donations. And the first thing Ike did when he woke up in the morning, he lifted his head off the pillow, got out of bed, and he reached for his 7-iron. He started working the wrists, brought the 7-iron down to the Oval Office, rested it on a credenza, but it didn't rest there long. By the end of the day, he grabbed it, put his golf cleats on behind his desk, and walked out through the French doors to the custom-built putting green. And by the end of his 8 years, there was literally a duffer's trail in the floorboards of the Oval Office that Ike left behind. And it remained there until Richard Nixon actually removed some of those floorboards and carved them up and gave them to friends.
And Ike was so associated with golf that his successor, JFK, decided he didn't want to be seen playing a lot of golf because he wanted to contrast with the other fellow.
That's exactly right. JFK and his aides made a lot of hay out of Ike's golf playing. They called him the duffer in chief. So they kept his game, Kennedy's game, in the closet. And they let the cat out of the bag only because there were all these rumors about JFK and other extracurricular activities.
Yes, well,
he was sneaking off doing other things, and they said Pierre Salinger had to tell people, no, he's playing golf. That was better than the alternative.
And he was pretty good.
He was the best presidential golfer. He rarely played 18 holes, but if he did, he would have regularly shot about an 80, which is pretty remarkable because with his chronic back problems, he was still able to hit the golf ball well. He played in college. He was a member of the Harvard golf team, and he looked, of course, great out there.
And Gerald Ford, who could wipe out a gallery and
Ford
swing.
That was Ford's. That was what Ford was so good at. He hit many, many people with golf balls and took a lot of ribbing from Bob Hope and many other comedians.
Jerry Ford held the most powerful office in the world, and he never frightened anybody. Then he started to play golf regularly and scared the hell out of the world.
What about presidential wagering on golf?
There was quite a bit of that. Most of the presidents wagered, but the wagerer-in-chief was Warren Harding. He had a bet on every swing. And Harding just didn't do that. He also drank on the golf course during Prohibition. He would take sips and, you know, he'd be enforcing the rules of golf while he was out there because the bets depended on it.
But not the rules of the country.
But not the rules of the country. And he was the caretaker of the most corrupt administration in American history. And what I point out in the book is that shouldn't surprise us.
Ooh. Heavy! Ooh. I'm talking major hit.
Now, what about the Bushes, father and son?
Well, you know, the father and son bond between the two of them really comes into strong relief on the golf course. They love teasing each other, and the elder Bush's game has really gone in the tank as he's gotten older. And the current president, George W. Bush, loves to tease his father that now he has to hit from the ladies' tees. Of course, his father says, no, they're not the ladies' tees, they're the forward tees. They give each other a lot of ribbing, but they play a brand of golf called aerobic golf. They play very, very quickly. The Bushes want to get off the course as quickly as possible. The score doesn't matter. It's the time elapsed that matters the most to the Bushes.
What is it about this game that so attracts presidents?
I think it's a mind game, camaraderie. They love being out away from the pressures of the Oval Office. And it's a prism into their characters. It's really a way for us to see how they really will behave under pressure, whether they have a short fuse or a long fuse.
And are great decisions made out there?
I don't think so. LBJ was really the only one who went out there and lobbied for the Civil Rights Act in 1964 on a golf course. He would, you know, buttonhole senators. They thought they were going to be out there for a fun 18, and LBJ lobbied them for 4 or 5 hours. But most presidents were escaping the pressures of politics when they went out on the golf course. Bill Clinton hated to talk about politics. He wanted to only talk about golf.
Investigative reporter and golfer Don Van Natta, Jr., an excerpt of his new book, First Off the Tee, Presidential Hackers, Duffers, and Cheaters from Taft to Bush, is at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.